the Board of Commissioners for the Humboldt Bay Harbor Recreation and Conservation District. It is 7:01 PM. May I have a roll call, please?
Yes, Commissioner Marks?
Here.
Commissioner Higgins?
Present.
Commissioner Dale? Commissioner Doss?
Here.
And Commissioner Coleman?
Present. All right, would you like to join me in looking over Larry Doss's shoulder and saying the pledge to pledge allegiance? I pledge allegiance to the flag.
To the flag of the United States of America.
And to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty, and justice for all.
And thank you, Larry Doss, for the flag.
Yeah. All right, then we are going to move on to public comment. This portion of the agenda allows the public to speak to the board on various issues not itemized on the agenda. The member of the public may also request that a matter appearing on the consent calendar be pulled and discussed separately. Pursuant to the Brown Act, the board may not take any action on any item that does not appear on the agenda. Each speaker is limited to speak for a period of 3 minutes. Do we have any public wishing to make public comment on matters not on the agenda or asking for a consent item to be pulled tonight? Just identify yourself and I'll take people's names. All right, so it seems like nobody is wanting to make public comment at this time. I'll just give it one more chance. Then we will move on to the consent calendar. May I have a motion?
I move to adopt the consent calendar.
I'll second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. It's a consent calendar, so we can just move right into a vote, I believe. Are there?
Roll call. Okay, Commissioner Doss?
Yes.
Commissioner Marks?
Yes.
Commissioner Higgins?
Yes.
And President Coleman?
Yes. All righty, now on to communications and reports. Executive Director's report.
Can you put that up real quick, Adam?
You guys see it?
Not yet.
Okay. I was trying to be tricky, so okay, my trickiness did not work.
And just real quick, I did mention before for the public or and the board, while someone else is speaking, if we could mute our microphones, it'll make it much easier to hear. Thank you.
I just wanted to let everybody know that the Army Corps of Engineers is contractors out working on the North Jetty. They're starting to load up all of the large stones. And the good thing is that most of these are coming from the Liscombe Quarry, which is a local quarry. So it's good to see a local quarry being used for that project. They're gonna be staging those stones for probably the next month and a half. And then they'll start doing the work over the course of the next 2 years, repairing the north and the south jetty. If you go there, you'll notice that, you know, they have some of that area blocked off for public access. So we just really encourage people to, you know, give them a wide berth. These are big stones and give them the room. There's still plenty of public access. The plan is to keep it open to the public all the time, but they do need a little bit of room for the construction. Go ahead, Adam. So was there one more slide in there, Adam? Or so with the, Adam, do you wanna go ahead and talk about dredging real quick?
Oh, sure. So as the board knows, during the last meeting, you approved us to enter into a contract for dredging. We met with Figus Construction earlier this week. We walked the marina with them. We're getting together with them next week out at Terminal 2. We've started to basically kick off the project. We're still finalizing some of the contractual parts of it. it's going very well, you know, coordinating around, you know, what boats we're going to have to move. We're not going to have to move a lot of boats for this dredging episode. We're also coordinating really closely with Danco regarding, you know, final placement of the material at the Samoa town site. We're actually going to visit that site with Phoenix Construction and Danco so that everyone's really looking at the big picture so that we can ultimately get that material over to the Samoa town.
Yeah, the NOAA NCHA is a 501c3.
Someone might want to mute. I think that's about it. We're going to be dredging here soon. We'll probably start dredging realistically at the end of August or by September 1st at the latest. We still have to do the pre-dredge surveys, submit the dredging operation plan and have that approved. So there's still some steps. We should be dredging by September 1st, and it'll probably take 15 to 20 days to complete.
Hey, Adam, was there two slides before that one?
Only one. That's great news, Adam. Thank you.
Okay. You must have an earlier version. So there's just two other little things I wanted to report on is that we're finally able to get the Woodley Island Marina sewer meter hooked up. And so with that, as you recall, you may or may not recall, is the utility bills for Woodley Island Marina are really been expensive. And a lot of this has to do with basically the way that the sewer rates are calculated based upon your water consumption. Because we're in a marina, there's a lot of hoses and spigots that are out in the bay. And so all that water goes right into the bay and doesn't get go to the wastewater treatment plant. And so in June, our sewer bill was $7,283 for 1 month of sewer bill to the city of Eureka. And we got it hooked up so that there's a special meter that we were able to put on the sewer to actually monitor the sewer output. And in July, which was for 21 days, not a full month, but the bill went down to $1,484. We estimate that the future billing will be around $2,200 a month. We're also seeing a little less than normal because the restaurant isn't in full operation, but it also wasn't in full operation in June either. But there's going to be some times of figuring this out, but it's looking like we're going to see about $5,000 a month in savings on that, which is really, really significant for us. And I really want to thank Chris Mickelson for keeping this ball rolling and working with the city of Eureka to do this and really being persistent, because this is a big savings for the district.
Good catch.
I also wanted to report out that with the black liquors at the Redwood Marine Terminal 2, I informed the board that when we were looking at the demolition of the silos and all of the other things with Nordic Aqua Farms, we discovered that several of the, there's five tanks out there that had black liquors in them. And some of the roofs had blown off and rainwater had gotten into the tanks. And so we immediately went in and did an assessment, and all the liquid is contained. We had meetings this morning with the regulatory agencies on that. And we were able to get visual confirmation on four of the five tanks. And it really looks good. When the black liquors were there, when they hauled it all away, the pH was between 11 to 14. And in all of the tanks, all five of the tanks, the pH ranged in the 7 to 8 range. And so we took samples and we sent them off to the lab that specializes in pulp products. We're also coordinating with the EPA. I've had two conference calls with them in the last week because they're the ones that hauled off the previous material and took all the samples. And so at this point, everything looks good. We just really want to confirm that there's no contamination issues out there. And then we're going to work to properly dispose that. So those are the couple things I wanted to report on. And then Chris, can you take this over from here?
Okay, thanks guys. So I just want to share with everybody how great it is to work on the island. These are some of the wonderful things we get to see. This was about a month and a half ago. We had some little geese, and hopefully from your screens, you can see the two little babies that are behind what I'm going to guess are the parents, but a lot of fun stuff. Great place that we get to work. So getting down to business on the next slide, we have Redwood Marine Terminal 1. Pardon the graffiti that's on the dock there, but recently we had some material that came down and detached from the pilings. We'll be out there next week. It's going to take 2 vessels, 3 harbor maintenance workers, and a couple of days to repair this. This is actually a pretty significant repair for us. I'm reporting on this because I simply want to share with everybody the challenges that we face at Redwood Marine Terminal 1. We speak on it periodically, but it's something that we're attached to. We're going to do all we can to keep it in good repair, but it presents its challenges, and it does take a considerable amount of time. We also had a recent power loss out there. We lost the lighting to the dock as well as the crane. We have a couple, actually 5 fishermen in particular, who either store gear there, swap out gear there, do their bait, and or we have, of course, the hagfish operation. But it also brought the crane down. So shout out to Scott Krepps, who runs the operation out there. He brought his personal generator out there to keep the crane going, shared it with the other fishermen. We provided the pigtails and the wiring in order for them to have a cord to connect while we ordered a transformer. The transformer showed up today. So the electrician we're working with will get it on later this week, but it's an unexpected $1,650 cost plus our staff time that we were not anticipating. Moving on to, I believe, Redwood Marine Terminal 2 in the next slide is we've been preparing the site utilities construction map. Part of the Nordic operation is for us to really note all the utilities that are on the plans, not only what was on the original as-built plans, but those things that have been added over the years or in some cases subtracted. This has been a 3-step process. We've had surveyors out, and then we've been using our knowledge of certain utilities that aren't represented well to get on the map, and we plan to complete that tomorrow. I think Larry spoke already on the rainwater disposal. This is a shot from one of the ports in silo number 3. We were able to remove a port cover in there, and as you can see, the water's just up to that base, but they tried to talk me out of it, but I'm like, no, we're pulling that off. Just kidding. But in any event, that's a little shot from what the silos look like on the inside. Finally, we've shipped off one more load of the lead-based dirt that's out there. We did that with help from SHN. We're trying to get the recipe right so we can get the rest of the dirt removed. And then we've had a few electrical issues at RMT2 as well. The next door neighbor, as many of you should probably know, we have power that runs through our project to what was the former Glasshouse Supply and also Ryan Schneider, RSCI's parcels. And recently, Ryan leased to a group that is South Coast Lumber and Eureka Products. They have logs and lumber going in and out of there. And in an effort to get them some power for their office and their scale, connecting back into the switch, we've had quite a few power issues. So we're working to resolve those. We are finished on our metal recycling. We're just waiting for the hauler, which is Eel River Disposal, to come out, load it, and share the recycling fees with us. And then finally, just working on an aging infrastructure. We've had a number of water leaks out there. And again, just all fun stuff. We just want to demonstrate that these projects, these are large assets. They take a reasonable amount of time and then some to keep going. And hats off to the harbor maintenance workers who are out there every day. They're doing a great job for us. At the island, we had some stairs coming out of the back of the marina, which we learned were loose upon further inspection, and we found quite a bit of rot and some failed hardware. So Rick and Max, two of our harbor maintenance workers, went to work on that and put new stairs in for us. Put the handrails back up, and then the warning strips to let people know there's a change in grade. On the other side of your screen are weldments that are going in. We're in the process, as you know, in our budget, we talked about weldment replacement, and so we've got underway with that. This is a look at FDOC. Looking eastward, and this is at the end of the end tie. We also replaced one on the inner portion of the dock where the actual dock and the finger meet. And then finally, the crew went down to Shelter Cove today. We have annual maintenance requirements down there, which includes cleaning the boat ramp or the drive down to the water, painting the curbs, identifying them as a no parking zone, repainting other signage, both on the roadways and the curbs. And then on the right-hand side, they replaced that chain. Now, in my time here, we've done it twice. It is often submerged, and that chain holds the waistline from the fish cleaning station out into the water. So one last slide as we sign off tonight is just to let you know the wildlife is abundant at Woodley Island. Again, this goes back a couple of months, but this is one of our bucks that runs around the island. We know of two. There's obviously more, we're hoping. We know there's more deer. We don't know that they're bucks, but that's the report for tonight. Thank you.
I got a couple of deer in my backyard trying to eat my garden you could have.
Yeah, me too at home.
It's always fun to watch them swim. I've been kayaking a couple times and seen them swimming between Woodley Island and Indian Island. Catches you by surprise sometimes on a kayak to see some horns go by you. Okay, do we have a report from the district council?
No report tonight.
And I don't believe we have a district treasurer here, so we'll move on to commissioner reports. Would you like to go ahead, Commissioner Higgins?
Well, I've been out placing temperature gauges all over the Eel River watershed, and pretty dry year, but abundant fish life, and you can check it out at eelriverrecovery.org. But I'm really pleased to see dredging happening with the Harbor District here this year. This is nimble, and you know, kudos to Chris and the crew for you know, being able to pick up $5,000 that we're spending every month. I mean, that's a big hole. So I'm really pleased with the way things are going here at the district, and I'm actually glad to be sitting in my chair because I've been out in the woods and up and down the bank so much. It's good to get a day off once in a while.
Okay, thank you for that. Commissioner Marks. You are muted, Richard.
Did you guys read my lips? I think I'm already done.
Yeah, and you shouldn't be saying that about your fellow commissioners.
That was the best report yet.
Yeah. Hey, I just wanted to say that I'm looking forward to see how we do with the sediment reuse program. And thank you, Adam, for working on that. That's it.
Thank you. Commissioner Das.
Hey there. So I am excited about a little bit later on in our agenda. We've come to a conclusion on negotiating with the union, and I think it's a positive, a win-win. So excited to see that on tonight's agenda. And then I just want to shout out, because it's just very remarkable in over 25 years in real estate, I got to see a client be able to sign some loan documents on Monday for 1.9% interest. So if you are thinking that you need to lower your monthly mortgage costs, look into refinancing right now, because I don't think we're going to see money this cheap again, and just love on it. So that was a first for me, and who knows how long we get to see that, but I feel like I need to just say that out loud, and hopefully everybody can take advantage of it if you want. Other than that, enjoying the Humboldt County summer, and looking to get some business done tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Larry. And looks like Commissioner Dale joined us.
I am here. I apologize. My computer was dead, and I had to get the battery up to where it would turn on tonight. I'm really, really missing you guys. I know that sounds weird, but I'm ready, and I've talked to Larry about this. I'm ready to have a in-person board meeting. And I, you know, I'll wear a mask. I'll sit 16 feet away from you, Coleman. I will do whatever it takes to come to that boardroom and have an in-person board meeting. So the staff is rocking. The staff is kicking butt during this, and I'm really proud of them all. But I miss you guys. That's all. That's my report.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, it's tough trying to do everything not in person. So I share your feelings. I don't really have anything to report other than from what I hear and observed, off the boat fish sales are going like crazy on Woodley Island Marina. And I've only had the opportunity to take advantage of it twice so far. Hoping some of you will be selling fish tomorrow morning when I go to sign some checks and stuff. But, you know, it's great to see some good things come out of this. It, you know, shakes us up when we have stuff like this happen. And so hopefully we can do whatever's in our power to help encourage great activities like this and direct sales to the public occurring. And, you know, other activities that can help the fishermen and help make Woodley Island an enjoyable place to come. So yeah.
Is a delicacy. And actually, Stephen, you're reminding me that I'm remiss. Halibut fishing is lights out. If you get a line down at 300 feet, first thing in the morning, you'll be back on the dock and it'll still be time for breakfast. And so if you've got a license and you get on a six pack and you get out there, it's pretty crazy. And the halibut were probably born between 2006 and 2012. And they're like 10 to 25 pounds. And that means they're not very old. That means the fishing's only going to get better as they get bigger. I really want to thank the HASA guys. I want to thank Tom Marking personally. And the fact that we have a halibut quota that is wide open, if you don't have fish in your freezer, that's your fault. Thank you, Stephen.
Well, I guess I'm doing something wrong because I don't have any halibut in my freezer right now, but I'll see what I can do about that. All right, moving on to unfinished business. Item A, consider adopting amendment number 7 to ordinance number 6, an ordinance establishing procedures for the conduct of meeting, elections of officers, and the passage or approval of ordinances and resolutions for the Humboldt Bay Harbor Recreation and Conservation District. And adopting resolution 2020-09 business matters.
I'll move. Commissioner Higgins, can I get a second?
I'll second.
All right, and do we have a report on this?
Larry, I can't read your lips either.
Read a slide, but
I sound better that way. Adopt amendment number 7 to ordinance 6, an ordinance establishing procedures for the conduct of meetings, elections of officers, and the passage or approval of ordinances and resolutions for the Humboldt Bay Harbor Recreation and Conservation District, and consent to adopt that ordinance by title only. And then we're also asking you to adopt resolution 2020-09 that establishes the business matter. Essentially, as was discussed at the previous meeting, these actions would change the meeting date from the fourth Thursday of the month to the second Thursday. They would also propose to change the meeting time from 7 p.m. to 6 p.m. And then we're also would be simplifying the meeting structure and allowing the board president some flexibility on if we needed to do different agenda items like presentations or other things that may come in when he's setting the agenda. There's a little bit of flexibility built in about venues and other relatively minor components. But in essence, what we did was we put the detailed structure that were outlined in the ordinance, and then we put those in resolution 2020-09. And then, could you go to the next slide, Adam? And so then, following up on what Greg had Commissioner Dale had mentioned in his staff report. What we'd like to do is ask the board if you're interested in looking at safe distance options for the meeting room. As Commissioner Marks had forwarded over some procedures that Redding and Shasta had done, and so we looked at that. And then we, to the left, and right, you can see we've kind of rearranged the boardroom a little bit, and we believe each one of the tables are basically 6 feet apart. And we've researched what equipment would be needed in order to basically broadcast the meeting live, and where the board members could either come to the boardroom, or they could stay at home and operate, or wherever they're at, and do Zoom meetings, safe distancing. We would be broadcasting from the boardroom, you know, live via Zoom. Public members would be encouraged to participate via Zoom, but if we set up such a thing, then we would allow one public member to be present in the room at all times. And you can kind of see on the left that there is the podium that's in the end. If there's people that are waiting, the public that are waiting, they would have to wait outside. And then one at a time, you could let them in. But again, we would encourage them to participate via the Zoom, like is currently done. And then what this would do, if we were to acquire this equipment, then post COVID-19, future board meetings, when we get back into normal operations, we would be able to continue to stream the broadcasts. And so we wanted to kind of present this option. We've researched this, and it's really kind of amazing. The technology has really changed. All anybody has to do is go on the internet and look at all the people that are out there Zooming. And so you can buy equipment that will operate multiple cameras and integrate the sound system in. You know, it's readily available. And so, but the cost to do this, it would be about, we project that it would be between $5,000 to $6,000 to do a complete renovation and to mount some cameras, you know, on the ceiling, that basically the board would be viewable, and also the public podium. And so if this is something that we currently don't have those funds budgeted, but if this is something that the board really wants to do for board cohesion and other things, then we would really sort of scratch the surface and try to find the money and then work to try to put this together if this is something that the board wants to do. And so number one, we're recommending that the board adopt ordinance number 7 and to adopt resolution 2020-09. And then after those actions, then be interested in the board's opinion or direction on whether we should try to do some safe distance in-person board meetings in the future.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to recommend then, since we have a motion and second on the floor, that we first limit our discussion to the ordinance and resolution. We'll go to public comment on that and then come back and discuss the idea of the in-person board meetings, which I guess it's all can be the same topic, but I think let's keep the discussion separate.
President Coleman. Because one is an ordinance, one's a resolution, we should move them separately, discuss them separately, and vote separately.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you. So let's see, should we withdraw the motion and ask for a motion just for the ordinance?
Yes.
Again, motion just on the ordinance alone?
I'll take that friendly amendment. I presume my second will as well.
Yes.
Okay. Is there any discussion on revising the ordinance? And so the ordinance, if I'm correct, does govern the date and time of the meeting. The resolution will govern the agenda items. So I guess if there's any discussion on the date and time being changed to the second Thursday, starting at 6 o'clock with closed session beginning at 5 o'clock, now would be the time to discuss that.
I really think earlier meetings are better, so I'm in favor of that.
Okay, well, I'm not hearing any other discussion from the board. And so again, since this action item is the ordinance, I'll ask the public if there's any public comment on amending the ordinance so that it's taking the specifics of the agenda items out of the ordinance and changing the time of the meeting, time and date of the meeting to the second Thursday of the month, which will also help us avoid holidays, and starting at 6 o'clock with closed session beginning at 5 o'clock. Are there any public wanting to make comment on this? Okay, hearing none, I guess we can bring it back up for a vote. Could you call the roll, Larry?
Commissioner Higgins.
Yes.
Commissioner Dale.
Yes.
Commissioner Marks.
Yes.
Commissioner Doss.
Yes.
And Commissioner Coleman.
Yes. So it sounds like it passes. And then I guess now I'll entertain a motion about the resolution. I'm scrolling back up.
I'll make a motion that we adopt resolution 2020-09.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Do any commissioners want to have any questions or comments on this item? Hearing none, I have one, and I don't know if it's worth it or not in the resolution, but I was looking at the items, and today I thought of another one that we might want to have on there, and I'd like to hear my fellow commissioners' opinions. If we had an item for correspondence that's been on agendas of other meetings I've been in, and that'd be a good place to report on any correspondence the board has received.
Good idea.
Not junk mail.
Yeah, I get correspondence of no. We would trust the board or the staff's presentation, not just ideas of what is valuable correspondence, not just anything that's received. Okay. I'm not hearing much discussion either way on that. Should we amend the resolution to include that, or just vote on the or just move with the resolution as is?
I'll go ahead and move that we make the change under communications and reports to also include correspondence.
And I'll take that as the second also.
Great, thank you. Then I'll move on to the public. Do any public have any comment on this matter? Okay, and Adam, I trust that you're also looking and noticing if anybody's trying to wave their hand or anything or get our attention.
Yeah, and I'm not muting anyone, so anyone could also speak up if.
Okay, no, that's fine. Usually just somebody has something to say about everything we're doing. But
Mr. Chair, I just received a email that there's been some technical difficulties with one of our commenters. I think we're all CC'd on it, so.
There's actually a phone number too, isn't there?
I see that now. From Mr. Driscoll. Uri, are you there? Can you unmute and just acknowledge so I know which one you are? I'll ask him to call me.
Okay, yeah, I don't have my email up right now. Did you notice if he was trying to comment on this item or just wasn't able to get through?
He was trying to comment on the general public comment, I believe, on non-agenda items, yeah.
Okay, well, that would be...
If there's technical difficulties, we should make an exception at some point.
Not recognized during...
Yeah. Let me try to mute on here.
That's what I was going to say. So why don't we just continue on this item, and then once we can figure out the technical difficulties, I'd be happy to reopen public comment. So I think we're ready for a vote on the resolution.
Commissioner Marks.
Yes.
Commissioner Higgins.
Yes.
Commissioner Dale.
Yes.
Commissioner Doss.
Yes.
And President Coleman.
Yes. Just let me know when it's your eyes trying to make a comment when you're able to make the connection. But until then, I will go ahead and move on to the next item. Consider approving the collective bargaining agreement between the district.
I'm sorry, Stephen. We were going to possibly discuss the safe distancing option.
You're correct. Sorry, I forgot. So this is just a discussion item, I believe. We're not moving on anything. And that cost should be, you were saying approximately $3,000. Is that within your ability to expend, Larry, or do you need board?
Actually, he said it was more like 6 or 7, Stephen.
Yeah, all of the cost would be within my spending limit for each of the individual items, because we buy they have to be bought separately, and so I don't need any direction from the board. Just really a general discussion if this is what you want to proceed us to proceed, and then if you want us to, then I can try to find the money. And then we'll report back to you on our progress.
Mr. Chair, based on the earlier report, we're $60,000 ahead minus $1,650, so we've got a few bucks.
Let me get up early.
Knock on wood.
I was trying to promote this capacity for the district, at least 7 years ago. And so I'll take any opportunity to improve our transparency and involvement of the community. And I think this is an important step. I'm a risk taker. I'd sit in a room with Greg Dale. but, you know, not too flippant. It's like, I think that having people on Zoom up on the screen while we're having a meeting and we're looking at them doing the Zoom thing, I think that's full deference to them as participants, and the ability to let people in that don't Zoom one person at a time. I think this is prudent risk, and I favor it.
Thank you, Commissioner Higgins. Any other commissioners wish to comment on this item? Go ahead, Richard.
Yes, I would like to correct Commissioner Higgins that it was in 2008, even before I was on the board, that you made very public that there needed to be transparency with the Humboldt County or with the Humboldt Bay Harbor Recreation Conservation District. At that time, you said all of our meetings should be broadcast on public access. And you were trying to get the monies for the commission to do that, but they didn't follow through. So you're just a little bit late there. It only took 12 years, Pat.
But you're with me, right?
Oh, yeah. I was with you back in 2008.
Looks like Larry.
With this technology, would we be able to record these meetings and then host them on our website, or would public access also be able to take the recorded version? Do you know about the Zoom capabilities there?
I would like to see us wire in seamlessly with them. It might take a few more $1,000, but I think the investment is there, because for the last however many years we've been on Humboldt Access, somebody from the Harbor District staff ran over there. There had to be this constant labor. It's not labor intensive, but well, it is. And so at this point, if we are going to go to cameras in the hall there at Woodley Island Marina in the conference room, it should be wired to Access Humboldt. It should go up live. And then they archive it and record it. And like, yes, we could link them all to our website, but they'd all be accessible through Access Humboldt. It's an amazing service that we kind of take for granted locally here. So I, you know, maybe we could make this investment and get up now and then make the other investment to connect with Access Humboldt. But ultimately, that should be our goal, because then we support their public service as well, which is really important. So thanks for letting me jump in there, Stephen and Larry.
So with this technology, you would be able to, in the first place, would be able to directly stream to the to the web. You know, and we're currently doing everything on Zoom, and so we'd be using the Zoom platform. There's other platforms that you could do this. You could air it live on YouTube. You could air it live on Facebook Live. There's other platforms that you can do these kinds of live airing just directly over the internet. And then at the same time, then you can automatically record that information, just like the Zoom is doing right now. It's recording this broadcast. We haven't looked at what Commissioner Higgins was discussing. You know, really the first step is to get it, you know, up on the internet. And then the second step would be, once we get all that together in the long term, would be figuring out the connection with Access Humboldt and how we might be able to do that. But this would really accomplish that first step of being able to get it live. You know, there's a couple of little differences between, I'm certainly not an expert in this, is, you know, the resolution and the quality of the video when you do streaming over the internet. You know, you don't want it to be as super high quality, because in other words, you can't really do like what they call 4K or other things, because it'll just bog down the internet. You only want to do like 1080p, which is still really good quality video. And so I think it's just something that we're going to have to try out over time. But right now in this emergency condition, everything that we would get, it would be completely able to be transformed into the future, whether we wanted to do direct access. Literally, it's the same thing as you can, they call them like mini TV stations, basically.
Thank you, Larry. I'm definitely in favor of making this investment. I think for the long term, I'm also fully in favor of having our meetings live streamed and increasing access to the public. In terms of getting back in the room, I have to admit, you know, I'm going to be the voice here that says I'm torn. I would love to be back in the room with everybody and doing our meetings in person. I also, in my opinion, I'll just say in my opinion, you know, just because we want things to go back to normal and want, you know, we're all sick of this virus and we're sick of the, you know, quarantine and all that, does not mean that it's gotten any better, is going away. The numbers are increasing now. We're going to be moving into flu season. And so it's not getting better now. And just because we're sick of it and want it to be better doesn't mean that it is getting better. And so I might still be hesitant to get back in the room as much as I'd like to, but I still think it'd be worthwhile to make this investment and have that capability for the future. And so even though this is not an action item, I'll still go to the public if the public wants to comment on the idea of purchasing equipment to prepare for having in-person board meetings again and be able to live stream meetings.
Stephen, I don't see anyone from the public necessarily wanting to comment on that, but just so you know, I talked to Mr. Driscoll. He is back online, and I told him we would give him the opportunity, because I think this is what I heard, to make a comment on something not on the agenda out of order, since we had that technical issue, but not right this second. Obviously, I'd suggest we get past this item, but I just wanted to let you know that he's back.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I see his name there on the screen. Well, this item doesn't require a vote or anything. This was just a informational item. It was just, I kind of tacked on to the last item about our meetings. So I think we can move on from it.
A great discussion. One thing I'd like to add is that Access Humboldt, don't forget there's cable TV, and there's a lot of people watching, and there's 400 channels, and there's nothing on. So they always watch us. And so the cable system is an important way for us to reach the public. And so, you know, as we get into this, I'll continue to pitch for Access Humboldt. Thank you, gentlemen.
Yeah, and that sounds like a perfect future agenda item too.
So we didn't, I don't know, we didn't hear from Commissioner Dale. I didn't know if this was what he was thinking about when he was doing the public comments.
This is Commissioner Dale, and yes, Larry, this is exactly what I was thinking about, and I understand Stephen's concerns, and I respect those. I think that we certainly could, at some point in the future, make something like this work well. It's hard to say how long we're going to do this, but I can tell you, for the next 20 years, we're not going to be sequestered. So at some point we're going to have to meet in person again. I think the investment is well worth the money, but it's not an action item tonight. So let's move on. Thank you though.
Yeah. Thank you, Greg. I appreciate that too. And, you know, I've just personally, like, I have been going into work on occasion and, you know, being in the room, so it is doable, but okay, so it looks like we are going to move back to public comment on items not on the agenda. I hear Mr. Driscoll, is you're liking to make a public comment?
Yeah, is it, you ready for me?
We're ready.
Okay, well, yeah, you all would have my full support about bettering the public access for sure. So thanks for having that discussion, or starting it anyway again. So as you know, I sent in a letter with our Horsemen's Association president expressing interest in assisting with the transfer in an appropriate way of the dog ranch. It's is spelled out, you know, how special a place this is to all of us, and we'd like to help that along. I keep expecting this item to come up in open session so there can be a little bit more public participation in it. I know the whole project has morphed quite a bit since it was last voted on to pursue this and enter into a purchase agreement. So we just don't know, as the Horsemen's Group, we just don't know what all the parameters would be to establish ourselves in that role. You know, of course, we'd want to check to make sure that passing a public property to a nonprofit is legal. I can't really cite any examples, but anyway, if there's potentially two other options. One is, you know, the NCRA being the Northern California Horsemen's Association being a holder, and or the other option is conceivably just having the Harbor District be the holder through until BLM takes it over. And since there's all this money now that seems to be available that wasn't originally, maybe the simplest way is really to just have the Harbor District take this over and then reach out to the rest of the community and through these meetings to be able to help us or have us be able to contribute in a positive and open way. So anyway, those are just some of my ideas or thoughts on this. And of course, during the transfer to BLM, I think the Bayside parcels would be should be cut out and turned into, you know, managed by the Harbor District. That seems far more in your wheelhouse. So anyway, I just don't see, you know, I mean, I'm a little bit torn. We want to help. The NCHA really wants to help. But I'm not so sure that the project goal was originally to hand it off to a non-government organization. And that's what seems to be happening. So again, I hope this comes into a more public discussion and more open discussion and gets out of closed session so that we can review the changes that have taken place since 18 months, 20 months ago or so. Anyway, those are my comments. I'm happy to answer any questions if you need me to, or if you're going to have any discussion on it, I'll stay on the line. Otherwise, I'm going to put some burgers on the grill. So thank you very much for letting me speak on this and retrieving me from technical difficulties. I appreciate that very much.
Okay, thank you. And thank you for your correspondence earlier. Yeah, and as this is not agendized tonight, I don't think we can have any discussion or move on it, but I appreciate your comments. And so we are going to move on now to item 7A, approving the collective bargaining agreement between the district and Operating Engineers Local Union Number 3, AFL-CIO.
I move that we approve the negotiated collective bargaining agreement.
I'll second that.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Do you have a presentation for us, Larry?
Yes, as I had said to the board previously, is that really want to thank the board subcommittee. I think we have really strong subcommittees in the Harbor District, and that's where a lot of the work is. In this case, it was Commissioner Doss and Commissioner Coleman. We pretty much met every Friday for the last couple of months with the the union representatives. And so in essence, the agreement would remove the annual consumer price index wage increases that are currently in the agreement. And then there would be across the board salary increases of $2 per job class, $2 an hour. And then we would go to a step system from the current range system that we have. And there would be 5% increase between each step. Within the current agreement, which is a range step, each year they qualify for up to 2.5% increase. But then in addition to that, they would get an annual consumer price index wage increase, which over the last 10 years averaged 2.3%. And so on average, the employees over the last bargaining agreement contract received approximately a 4.8% increase. And we would, by removing the CPI and going to a 5% increase, it's approximately a 2% increase per step. The district currently spends over $300,000 a year on health insurance with our employees. $32,000 a month, I believe it is. And so the unions agreed that we would form a health insurance task force to study ways to reduce the health insurance costs, and that this is a reopener clause, is that once we, the task force, you know, comes to a recommendation, then the Harbor District or the union could reopen this clause. We also agreed to form what's called a Social Security Task Force. It's actually the Health and Social Security Task Force, one task force as opposed to two. And currently the Caltrans or CalPERS contract does not include a Social Security provision. And so we're one of the few agencies in the entire state that does not have Social Security. And so we don't take out Social Security. And so therefore the employees, when they retire, in addition to CalPERS, their amount of Social Security would be greatly reduced. And so we're looking at the possibility of opening that and seeing what the costs are. We modified the grievance procedures, and then we also modified the way that leave is accrued, both sick leave and vacation time. In the previous contract, it was all done by lump sum. And under the new contract, it'll be on an accrual basis. I just had two birds fly in my window here, wanted to join the meeting. So I'm probably gonna have to let them out of my office. And so then modified the leave accrual into basically the number of hours worked would calculate how the leave is accrued. And then there were some other word modifications in the agreement. Can you go to the next slide, Adam? And so just as an example, this is the way the system would generally work is in the far left-hand column, there would be these different classes, class A through T. And then there's basically a six-step process. And between each step is 5%. And over to the far right, these are the positions that the Harbor District has, and then which class each of the employees would fit into. And so this is just an example of how this works. And I'm gonna open up one of my windows and let these two birds out of my office before they—
You sure they're not bats, Larry?
I think I'll close my door too so they don't fly downstairs. So yeah, if there's any questions of the board, I'd be happy to entertain those. Or if Larry and Steven want to add anything.
Okay, thank you. Does anyone from the board have any comments or questions?
Our relationship with staff is paramount, so I can't thank my fellow commissioners enough for investing and going all the way in the weeds and really understanding how we can build a solid foundation. And that's trust with our employees. And so I'm really happy that this negotiation has been successful and that we took the time to go into the detail because, you know, the whole thing with Social Security, that's something that I'm surprised didn't come up before. So thank you for your diligence. Thank you for your efforts. I fully support this.
Thank you, Commissioner Higgins. Anyone else? My only question, Larry, I don't recall if we decided this, working group for the insurance and Social Security, is that just going to be staff and union representatives, or did you need board members on that as well?
I've asked Mindy and Chris to be on that subcommittee, and then once they give a recommendation, then we would have the Labor Relations Committee. They would give a report to the Labor Relations Committee and keep you informed along the process, but not necessarily sit on the task force unless you want to.
That sounds fine to me. Okay, don't need a bunch more first thing in the Friday morning meetings. Okay, not hearing anything else from the board, is there anyone from the public that wishes to comment on this matter? Okay, hearing none, I'll bring it back for a vote. Could you call the roll, Larry, if you can ask your birds to vote too?
Yeah, I'll ask my birds to vote, yes. Commissioner Dale?
Yes.
Commissioner Doss?
Yes.
Commissioner Marks?
Yes.
Commissioner Higgins?
Yes. Are you sure they're not bats, Larry?
And President Coleman?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to shut my window now.
Larry, are those stool pigeons?
Yeah, I think they escaped the jail. So then the other item that was on the staff recommendation, which I don't need an action of the board on, was really my intention is to develop a step system similar to this for the management employees. I wouldn't be included in that because I have a separate contract, but for the other employees to get away from the step system and or get away from the range system and then to create a step system. And so what I would do is I would prepare that and then show that to the Labor Relations Committee, and I'd like to bring that back, and that way we have the same system for both management and for the union.
Sounds sensible.
I've always favored incentives based on performance, and way back when I was told that's not possible, but that I like that better, and so if that's factored in, I think that's an incentive, but that's complex given, you know, arrangements. But I do think that there should be a conformity between management staff and union staff. So thank you.
Okay. Unless any other commissioners want to comment on that last thing, I'll move on to the next item. Item 8A, consider approving resolution 2020-08, adopting an initial study mitigating negative death of mitigation monitoring and reporting program and establishing findings relative to the permit application for the PG&E pipeline maintenance project and permit 2019-02.
Thank you.
Steven, this is Commissioner Dale. I move that we approve resolution 2020-08. And at the same time, I would recommend approving permit 2019-02.
I'll second both of those.
Okay. And Brian, do we need to treat these as two separate items, or this can be a permit and a resolution? Can that go together?
Resolution.
It's fine to move them both at the same time, just two separate votes on each.
All right, sounds good. So it looks like we have a presentation.
Yeah, I have a presentation. I'm going to describe the project and then go over the initial study as well. We also have staff from Pacific Gas and Electric on the Zoom meeting that can help answer questions, whether they're related to the environmental analysis. So I want to thank them for coming, and I want to thank Padre and Associates for doing a really good job on this and making my job very easy. Okay, so as you recall, because you accepted the application for this, we received a permit application from PG&E for the pipeline repairs project. Actually, there's three components to the overall project. Two of them involve pipeline repairs, and one is more related to culvert replacement, but three distinct sites. The Harbor District, we are the CEQA lead agency. We've conducted the tribal consultation, that's complete, and then we released the CEQA initial study for public review. That review period is complete. We only received one comment, which was from the Native American Heritage Commission, and really only required that we clarify the process we had gone through. There wasn't anything substantive in that comment regarding the environmental effects. Again, there's three sites. They're named with these numbers, R354, 519, and RT102. 354 is there at Dead Mouse Marsh, right next to our property off Park Street, up Myrtle and off Park Street. 519 is in Ryan's Lou off Myrtle Ave. And then 102 is further up Ryan's Lou. I guess at the point where it's all, we actually call it Ryan Creek, but just further upstream. I'm going to talk about those three projects. So this first one is 354. Again, this is the one right next to our property at Dead Mouse Marsh. You can see here is Dead Mouse Marsh. There's the Christie property there, and there's a bridge there. The project is right next to that bridge. There's these drawings that were provided in the initial study that do a good job of describing what's going to happen construction-wise. For this site, it involves removing and not replacing an existing pipeline. The pipeline is exposed on the north bank and then, you know, runs under the slough. And so the first thing they're going to do is fill it up with a cement slurry. and then using an excavator, they'll start on, they'll unbury the part of the pipe that is in the slough itself. They'll cut off the pipe at least 5 feet below the mud line, and then they'll remove the portion they cut off. So they'll be leaving a portion of the pipe buried under the mud. It would be more impactive to try to remove it than just to leave it there. And then after that, they'll remove the part of the pipe that is upland, that's terrestrial. And then finally, after that, they'll put down shoreline mats, and these are designed to allow for vegetation growth, you know, as much as possible in this type of situation. And then of course they'll, you know, restore the site. The second project, the second component is 519. So if you're driving on Myrtle Ave and cross Ryan's through there, and if you just look downstream, if you will, it's just basically right there. There's a little turnout right there. You've probably seen this when you go by. And for this one, they'll be decommissioning an existing pipeline, not removing it, but leaving it in place, and then putting in a new pipeline. So for this, they have to build shafts. So for on each side of the slough, they'll be building these shafts, one called the jacking shaft, that's Jack from, and then a recovery shaft on the other side. And then they will drive a pilot tube between those shafts, and then basically put the new pipe through there. And then, of course, you know, after doing that, they'll be decommissioning the site. They'll fill back in those shafts, revegetate the site, and so forth. And then the final site, as I noted, is further up Ryan Creek. This one's kind of different. I've been on all these sites. This one, if you're out there, it looks kind of like one of the logging roads we see, you know, along the creeks here. It's an easement for PG&E, and there's essentially, the whole road was built, I don't know if the whole road, but at least this section of it was built with redwood. It was redwood logs underground, and there's a slight channel that, you know, a small creek, not a fish-bearing creek or anything, but that cuts across right here into Ryan Creek, and currently it's just a failed culvert system, and the water's running over the road, creating a sinkhole. And so they're going to go in and remove the wood, remove the existing culvert system, and they're going to put in a box culvert, compact it, and then restore the site. That's the project. Again, me and then a great crew of people here to help answer questions on the project itself. The applicants proposed specific measures to reduce impacts. Dust control measures they're following are sort of standard fish avoidance work window here, I believe July 1st, October 15th. Turbidity monitoring and reduction program, training program for the construction crew, nesting bird surveys, western pond turtle protection and northern legged frog and raptors, erosion control plan, oil spill response contingency plan, asbestos sampling and removal if necessary, and dewatering. And then there's a bunch of mitigation measures, of course, for you know, everything from bio to aesthetics and so forth. I'm not going to read them all. I pulled out the ones that I thought might be of the most interest to the board and the public, which were related to biology. And they've established work windows to avoid impacts to sensitive fish species. We did a lot of work consulting with local fish biologists from DFW on this. Restoring special status plants, replacing native trees. There's a big salt marsh restoration component as part of the mitigation, which includes spartina removal, including at Dead Mouse Marsh. And then, of course, they're going to follow the Harbor District protocol for inadvertent discovery of cultural and historic resources, which is something that we worked with the Bay Area, the Humboldt Bay tribes on. And, you know, with the mitigation measures and that they've adopted, we have found, and I believe that all the impacts are reduced to less than significant with mitigation. And so we're asking, the staff is recommending that the board approve the resolution, adopting the initial study and other documents. And then after the approving the resolution, then you would consider approving the permit. And we're happy to answer any questions you have.
Thank you, Adam. That was a very good report. Do any members of the board have any questions?
Any chance we could rename Dead Mouse Marsh?
No.
Sorry for the joke.
Ah, that's one of my favorite names, marshes in the county.
Yeah.
Okay, anyone from the public, any comments?
I don't see any guys here. If there is anyone on the public, feel free just to speak up.
Okay, well, it seems like due diligence has been done. So we'll have to take two votes on this. Could you call a roll call vote first for resolution number 2020-08?
Commissioner Dale.
Yes.
Commissioner Doss.
You're muted.
Commissioner Higgins votes yes.
Commissioner Higgins.
Larry, unmute.
Commissioner Marks.
Yes.
President Coleman.
Yes.
Commissioner Doss.
You just muted Larry and held up two fingers.
He gave a D signal.
You're unmuted. Say something now.
Okay, so I'll vote a second time. Yes.
Okay, so Commissioner Doss voted yes twice. I'd like that. So that passes. So now, can we have a roll call vote on approving permit 2019-02?
Commissioner Dale.
Yes.
Commissioner Doss.
Yes.
Commissioner Higgins.
Yes.
Commissioner Marks.
Yes.
And Commissioner Coleman.
Yes. And if I haven't shared this with you before, a nice Zoom trick is the space bar will unmute you. It's like a walkie-talkie. You can press the space bar and talk, and then.
Gotcha.
Well, that's a good one, Stephen. Why didn't you tell us that a month ago?
I keep in some of my secrets to myself. Okay, that looks like it. So we'll move on to adjournment. Thank you very much. Have a pleasant evening, everybody.
Keep safe, and thanks, you guys.
Have a great day.
Well, actually, I guess Larry and I will talk about this later. The meeting's over.
Okay, we'll see you.